this is probably the last time I probably will ever chair a budget hearing. But it's certainly, it's been great, Stephen, serving with you. I thought that I would get on this board and be a liberal spender and with all my conservative friends, but I've seen, Jeff, that I've been the most conservative guy on this board.
Next to me.
I've been reducing costs since I've been here, but unfortunately, oftentimes I don't get help.
What? Lumen May makes it sound like he's not going to be on the board again? He's not going to be on a budget? Maybe what he means is if he runs for re-election next year and that even if he wins because of the rotation, because that would be 1 year plus 4 years is 5 years, that he wouldn't be back as chair again before he leaves. I don't know. It's an odd comment. I don't know what to make of it. He almost seemed to be saying like he wasn't running for re-election to me. I mean, maybe I'm mishearing it, you know, and that certainly may not be what he meant, but it just kind of, I don't know, it had that sound to it. Talking about the budget over the course of the last couple of weeks and a lot of the things that, you know, he was talking about have to do with what he perceives as inequities between, you know, people who he thinks ought to be getting a bigger share of the pie and people who he thinks are already getting too big of a share of the pie. For example, across the board pay raises for everybody in Escambia County, every employee of Escambia County at 3%.
We can't continue to give an automatic increase to people who make $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 when we have people who are making $15,000, $16,000, $17,000 an hour. And I would just say that to the administrator publicly. Don't bring another budget where people across the board are getting 3, 4% increase, and we got people who are living in poverty who were working for us making $15,000, $16,000 an hour, and they got to stand in line for me to give them Christmas toys at Brownsville.
So I think what he's trying to say is that, you know, and he does kind of come out explicitly and say this, that he won't vote for a budget next time. Now, he's only one out of five, right? So it's four Republicans and one Democrat. But that, yeah, and, but it's something to say, you know, I'm not going to vote for a thing, you know, because typically the budget doesn't come forward in such a way that it's going to completely offend one of the commissioners. They just don't typically do it that way, at least not one of the three that are really making all the decisions, Stephen, Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Burgosh, you know, because you got to kind of keep that triumvirate together. And if one of them's miserable about something, then maybe he doesn't stay with them on all the other votes that they need him for, because if they start to split up that unity, then God knows what will happen. You know, maybe something that Mike Kohler wants done or Robert Bender wants done gets done, you know. So anyway, he's expressing clearly that for his vote next time around, he's got to have a higher pay raise amount for the people at the lower end of the economic rate for Escambia County, people who work for the county.
I cannot help people driving my buses. I can't help people picking up my paper. I can't help people that's cleaning my toilet, and they don't have a decent place to go home to because we're paying them $15 an hour and they can't even live in Truman Arms, you know, and because it costs $800 to live there. And so I hope that, you know, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. But I am going to be the long ranger on that, and I'm not going to vote for a budget that doesn't bring people up to livable wages in the future.
So this seems to be kind of a demand being stated that, look, you know, you can't give an across-the-board pay raise. You need to give a pay raise that it might help the people who are making more, but it's going to be bigger than that for the people at the lower end. Otherwise, he's not going to vote for it, which is kind of an interesting position to stake. We'll see if it actually turns out. You know, to be that way. That was in the beginning of that budget meeting. And then at the end of the budget meeting, he kind of reiterated the same point.
I have a motion and congratulations to our staff. And Stephen, I will say before we pass this, I think since we've been on board, we've given a pay increase every year that we've been on this board. But I will say that, you know, I'm not a supportive of across the board 3% when we have people that don't have livable wages. And so what I would say in the next 12 months, that needs to be worked on to have my support. You know, I certainly appreciate that.
I know it's hard to hear. He's off mic, but Wes Moreno in the background says we've already started working on that. So, again, I don't know what the shape of this exactly is going to be, but I definitely noticed this time around, and it's not new. It's not that it's never been that way, but that Commissioner May is, just sort of ratcheting the rhetoric level about what the wealthier people get or the higher income earners get and what the beach gets, all that kind of lumped together as sort of similar concepts with what his district in Brownsville and the poor people and the people who, you know, don't have the ability to buy a car. You know what those people get. There's a little bit class warfare kind of rhetoric, but that's common enough for him and for the Democratic Party here in Escambia County. So I don't know. Just I heard some things this time around that kind of caught my attention, maybe just a little bit more than the normal way they talk about that stuff. And I just wanted to, I don't know what to make of it exactly. But well, here, when they're doing the Florida West funding, Florida West is the economic development arm of the county. And, Brian Hilson's the new executive director. And, they were talking about the different needs, not just for different kinds of jobs, but for different kinds of incomes. Because if all you ever do is create jobs at the $50,000 to $75,000, you know, which is kind of the desirable ones, okay? Well, that's great, but not everybody's maybe qualified for this. Although, like, if it's, you know, ST Engineering, they'll train you to it. So it's not like you can't do it, but anyway.
You know, a robust economic development program that has as its highest goal job creation, and that's part of the metrics that I mentioned a moment ago that we'll measure ourselves by, should not be only, and this is where some people get misled on this, should not be only the highest paying jobs, because not everyone in the community is qualified for the highest paying jobs. Right. You know, not everybody wants to be or is qualified to be an engineer or a scientist.
Right. And that's true. So it's not just that you need different kinds of occupations in the 50 to 75,000 range, but you know, it's okay to also create economic development for people that might make $40,000, $35,000 a year. You know, if they're jobs that are a little bit easier level of entry, you don't have to have specialized skills to get into them. That helps people as well, because the people who, you know, can't find a job, although in this economy, I think anybody can find a job as long as they're willing to take it. Everybody's hiring. Still, everybody's hiring. We're hiring. Everybody's hiring, okay? So you can find a job. The question is, are you willing to take it? But that diversity needs to be not just of occupational type, but of income level as well. And again, in that conversation at the previous budget meeting, Commissioner May again kind of brought up this, hey, are you doing enough for my people? Are you doing enough for the poor people kind of concept?
And so if we're not creating them with training, then, you know, every year for 10 years, I fund it to $500,000 to $600,000, and I've yet to get the results that I want in my district. And I'm only one of five, but I can't continue in good faith to support the lack of creation of jobs within the area that I represent.
Which, again, is kind of the, are you doing enough by my people? Even since my people are kind of funding all of this, since ad valorem taxes from District 3 go into the pot that funds Florida West and the PDC. So, you know, that's kind of what he's asking. And again, raising this, are you doing right by my folks?
I know you're new. Just wanted to just put that for me and you met privately. So
well,
I hadn't told you anything privately, publicly. I hadn't told you privately, but I'm not going to be able to support anything that doesn't create jobs within the pocket of poverty. I've had 18 shootings in my district of people that need jobs. And so I have to create jobs that are blue-collar, light manufacturing jobs for the constituents that I represent.
So if you kind of put these two different meetings together, what you seem to be getting is a picture of he's here saying, I can't support economic development anymore if it's not benefiting my people. On the other meeting, he's saying, I can't support pay raises if it's not benefiting the lower-income earners on the scale, which are kind of his people. And he seems to be staking a claim on evidence that the county's efforts are really being invested in helping people at the lower end of the economic scale to really do okay and to do a little bit better. And if that's not showing, then he's not voting. And again, since, you know, he's one of the key three votes for making almost everything happen that happens at the commission level, Jeff Bergosh, Stephen Barry, and Lumen May, this is not an idle threat necessarily. I mean, you could chalk it up to him just posturing, you know, posturing for pre-re-election next year and making sure that he says all the right things so that people hear him say the right things. And, you know, maybe nothing changes in terms of the doing. But I don't. It's just interesting. Like I said, I hadn't heard it quite this tone before, and I noticed, so I'm sharing it with you. 520 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need heating or air conditioning work done or electrical or plumbing or, you know, sort of anything in this vicinity, Peden, they will take care of you. Good quality products, good installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Offices everywhere. I mean, like all over the place. Destin, Fort Walton, Panama City, obviously here in Pensacola and Ellison Field. They're now covering Baldwin County as well. well. And they've got a couple of specials going on. Like right now, you get $1,000 off a home water filtration system. And the Emax Auto Booster, 40% more hot water from your existing electric tank. And right now, customers get 50% off the Emax Auto Booster with the installation of any 40 or 50-gallon electric water heater. So lots of different things you can take advantage of. Ask about them, some of their other specials when you give them a call. Check them out online, Peden, that's P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Right. 1, 2, 5.
Freeze up.
3.
Free here in God's country. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And somebody texted in and said, no, I think Lumen May actually is making a threat because he's worried about not getting reelected. I don't know that he is. Honestly, I think that in the Republican districts, 1 and 5 particularly, I think they're concerned about getting reelected because of all of the complaints about overdevelopment and failing infrastructure, inadequate infrastructure, and an unwillingness to plan for the future effectively. I think that's really getting a lot of people worked up these days. I don't think that's an issue in D3. And in D3, he won 90% of the vote in the primary against his brother last time around. And there's no Republican can run in the general. I mean, you know, people are always saying, Andrew, you ought to run for commission. Probably of all the people who live in District 3 that would have a chance as, you know, a Republican to run in District 3 in the general election against Lumen May, I even know it's absolutely hopeless. You know, like, that would be a crazy thing to even try. It's just, there's no point. So, you know, all he's got to do is win the primary and, you know, 90% last time. So I don't think he's worried about reelection. He might be flexing muscle. He might be saying, look, you know, y'all have had my vote on everything. Here's what I want. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, time will tell, right? Plus, you could have different commissioners in a year. You know, it could be District 1 and District 5 change. Who knows? 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Senate and the House advanced bills yesterday to try and avoid a government shutdown this weekend, but that is looking a little bit more likely by the hour now. The Senate voted to approve a bill that would fund the government through November 17th. Meanwhile, the House has passed 3 of 4 Republican bills funding parts of the government, but those bills would not prevent a shutdown. Student loan payments are starting up again after a 3-year pause. The payments were paused for many borrowers throughout the pandemic, but starting Sunday, student loan accounts are active again. And later this morning, UAW President Sean Fain will be doing a Facebook Live broadcast, I guess you'd say, to announce the next steps in the strike against the big 3 Detroit automakers. So there's a talk that it could be expanded yet again today.
So the story about the shutdown, which would start on Sunday, right? October 1st?
I believe so, yes.
And this would mean that even military, like, they don't get paid. They keep working, but they don't get paid.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of other folks don't get paid. Congress would get paid unless they voluntarily give up their salary like Matt Gaetz said he would do. So they shut the government down, and, you know, which we've – the reason I haven't been talking a lot about this is I just get tired of talking about this every time. You know,
right.
Oh, my God, no, the sky is falling. Oh, look, a last-minute deal. Okay, you know, like every single time, right? But if they do shut it down, they've still got like 2 weeks before the first paycheck would be affected, right?
And I believe
it's like October and then, 15th, I think.
And eventually.
The 13th maybe is the first paycheck.
Right.
And so as long as they get something done in the next like 2 weeks, obviously back pay is going to be a part of that deal. It always is. And so it
right.
wouldn't really change anything until about mid-October. Is that right? Is that the way you read
this? I believe so. And then a lot of times people will be sent home, but they'll still get back pay and be repaid for everything.
Yeah, that's the weird one, right? Even people who get sent home on furlough wind up getting back paid.
And then I remember there was like a lot of theatrics about shutting down national parks and things like that the last time. And yeah, so it's...
And the other side of this is, again, Kevin McCarthy... Barely, I mean, you know, with like the last tong of his climbing gear attached to the rock hanging off the edge for dear life with a majority for speakership, you know, and Matt Gaetz, remember all this drama about him becoming speaker? And so his group, like the core righties with Matt, are all like they want reform, right? They want big cuts and different big changes. And if he doesn't give it to them, they don't support him. He loses speakership. And then what? Right. That's kind of the and why do we care kind of thing, because this could change everything in the government. So, you know, I don't know. The Senate has put forward their proposal. Their proposal has, you know, it's a temporary measure through November 17th. We do this all the time. And there's like $6 billion in aid to Ukraine. Same for FEMA disaster funds, funding for women, infant, and children funding and all that. So I don't know. I don't get too worked up about it, but I wanted to make sure that you had been following this and understood how, the kind of the way I did, David. Do you think that's all about correct?
Yeah, it all sounded pretty accurate to me. So
we'll see. You know, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they got a deal in the offering or something. So, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. Something else about all that I was going to mention to you. And then, this is not on that topic. This is on a very different topic. And... Trump. Trump put a post up, former President Trump, put a post up on Truth Social, which, by the way, interesting thing, if you go try to Google, like, Trump's Truth Social, you can't get there. Google is actively not showing Truth Social, or at least not showing Trump. Like, you can't find it. Like, I had seen that this comment had been made, and I wanted to read the original, because that's how I do. And it was like hard to find it because he tweets or whatever so much. He truths so much that it's like you can't find the things in the feed. But anyway, I did manage to go ahead and find it. And he had put out a comment about General Mark Milley, who just retired from the Joint Chiefs yesterday. And this was the post. This guy turned out to be a woke train wreck who, if the fake news reporting is correct, was actually dealing with China to give them a heads up on the thinking of the President of the United States. This is an act so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death, all caps, exclamation mark. A war between China and the United States could have been the result of this treasonous act. Now, the truth of this story is the exact opposite. The Chinese were so worried about the saber rattling from Trump that they were worried about their, you know, about big changes or something happening, that apparently Milley was the one who kind of went to them and said, no, we're not doing anything. There's nothing that's going on. We're not looking at anything like that. So if anything, what he was trying to do was calm the freaking out Chinese who didn't know what to make of some of the things Trump was saying at the time. So it's the exact opposite. They were thinking that there was a U.S. attack planned, you know, and he was trying to tell them, no such thing. But he's mentioning death for Mark Milley? I don't know that that constitutes a threat, but good Lord, Milley's had to take extra personal security measures as a result of the analysis of the significance of this post from former President Trump. What in the world? That's... There you go.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer says bank records don't lie. Now he wants the personal and business bank records for Hunter Biden and James Biden, the president's brother, as part of the impeachment inquiry.
Three subpoenas were issued last night following what turned out to be a rather challenging debut hearing yesterday. House Republicans argued that the president had lied about his involvement in his son's business dealings, that the family got rich by Hunter selling his father's influence.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. House lawmakers passed three appropriations bills, but they still have a long way to go to avert a partial government shutdown before Saturday's 11:59 p.m. Eastern deadline. Inches of rain in New York City.
Very heavy rain coming in, an inch or two an hour. So flood alerts from New Jersey up towards upstate New York, Connecticut, Long Island.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's partly cloudy, 68 right now in Pensacola. In the aftermath of the gun scare at Pine Forest High School this week, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons classified it as either being a prank or possibly a misunderstanding. Channel 3 obtained audio of that call, providing a little bit more insight.
Okay, are you at the Pine Forest High School?
Following that call, the 911 dispatcher alerted the sheriff's office.
I had a caller on the line. They disconnected. It sounded like a kid at the Pine Forest High School, 2500 Longleaf.
What did they say?
They said somebody there had a gun, but there was laughing in the background, so I don't know what's going on.
The sheriff's office says no charges have been filed. It's not known if the students involved will face any discipline from the school either. In Mobile County, an investigation continuing today after a 37-year-old mother was found dead along with two children. According to WPMI, investigators there are working to determine whether it was a triple murder or a double murder-suicide. Samus police and sheriff's deputies say 6-year-old Mia and 2-year-old Jacob were found dead along with Nancy Johnson. Investigators say Johnson's estranged husband Derek lives in a camper in the backyard of the home and called 911 after discovering that scene yesterday morning. Semis police had been called to the home numerous times previously on domestic calls. Another year at UWF, and President Dr. Martha Saunders says more than 14,000 students enrolled this fall. That's the biggest number in 56 years. It's also another year that the university was recognized.
We've been recognized as a gold-level university in the large public school category in the annual military-friendly schools list for 23-24. UWF earned the gold distinction for success in helping veterans make the transition from the military to school and ultimately rewarding civilian careers.
During her State of the University speech yesterday, Dr. Saunders also highlighted the successful Florida legislative session as UWF received a $21.5 million increase in operating enhancements. Well, the 2023 Walk to End Alzheimer's is happening here in Pensacola this weekend. It'll be Sunday afternoon at Community Maritime Park, registration at 2, and the Promise Garden ceremony at 3.
They'll hold those flowers during the ceremony. We have someone who will be holding a blue flower. That's someone who's living with the disease. Our purple flower, you've lost someone to the disease. Our yellow flower is our caregivers. And our orange flower is our advocacy flower.
Tina Henson with the Alzheimer's Association there. She says the walk route is just over 2.5 miles long. There is a shorter 1 mile option available, and participants are encouraged to wear purple. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Good morning. After a cool start, we're back into the upper 80s today with mostly sunny skies. A northeast wind sitting at about 10 miles per hour. This weekend, maybe a little bit warmer. Lower 90s are returning with lots of sunshine to go around. Could be a little bit on the warm side for Pensacola Seafood Fest and everything that's going on this weekend across northwest Florida. If you plan to head to the beach, by the way, tempted by the 90s in the forecast, we do have rip current risk that continues over the next couple of days. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And right now we've got 68 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, thinking about where to buy it, and you're considering something that's not brand new, let me recommend Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality, almost new, used cars. Cars that are a year, two, 3 years old, something like that. They're in great condition. You know, they have A quality, low miles, and they're, you know, obviously good prices. But one of the things when you go to buy from them is they give you there's two sheets of paper. There's one sheet that has all of the numbers and the details about the car. And then at the very bottom, there's what they call the out-the-door price. That's the everything price. That's the only thing you negotiate on. And once you come to an agreement, that price doesn't change. There's no late ads or anything like that. Like, you go to some places and that happens. The second sheet of paper attached to it is called a Carfax report. That'll tell you the vehicle maintenance and service history for that vehicle to the extent that the people who worked on it reported it. Now, I think a Carfax is a great starting point. It's not necessarily the end-all, be-all. If you're going to buy a used car from somebody, I recommend getting a, you know, a vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust. It is well worth the money, trust me. So if you're going to somebody, you know, like who's a, I don't know, corner dealer or Facebook Marketplace or something like that, and they don't run you a Carfax, might wonder why, but also, you know, fine, no big deal. Just take the VIN to Frontier, and for no charge, they'll run you one. Easy. You say, why would they do a service like that for me buying from somebody that's not them? Because they can. Because they want to make sure you have better information to make sure that you make good decisions. That's it. It's an easy way for them to serve the community in a way that, you know, doesn't directly benefit them. It's just something they do to help. So when I say that Frontier has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Quick, name two things that hiss. Did you say gas leak? If not, here are some safety tips. Look, listen, smell, and leave. Look for blowing dirt, dead plants, dry spots in moist areas, and bubbling water in creeks or ponds. Listen for a hissing sound near gas appliances or lines. Smell for a rotten egg odor. If you detect any of these signs, leave immediately and call Pensacola Energy at 850-474-5300. Snakes and cats aren't the only things that hiss. Learn more at PensacolaEnergy.com.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Short-handed.
More than 50 people are under arrest in connection with this overnight crime wave that hit Philadelphia. Officers tackling suspects, ransacking businesses. Crowds of suspected thieves seen running from stores like Apple, Lululemon, and Foot Locker.
This is not shoplifting. This is looting. This is riot.
It's called organized retail theft. It's happening all over America, killing business and making shopping even more expensive. Target says crooks are forcing them to close 9 stores by October, saying theft is, quote, threatening the safety of our team and guests.
The high instances of retail theft in this country are due to the lack of prosecution, the demonization of the American law enforcement officer to the point that most police departments are shorthanded.
So this was the one of the spokespeople for the National Police Association, I think was the name of it, I forget, from reports put together from Instagram. Meatball is the influencer, I guess, who got arrested. She's the... iPhones. That's her. That's the meatball. She went to jail. Other people went to jail. Big attack in Pennsylvania. You know, in Pittsburgh, you had like 50 people get arrested. But it's been all over the country. And, you know, you heard them there talking about the lack of morale, lack of pay, demonization of the police, lax enforcement, all of that stuff. Now, we haven't really seen this here, you know, in this area, but, you know, partially as a result of the more pro-law enforcement community that we have and also some of the laws passed by the legislature and signed into effect by Governor DeSantis. Talked about this a little bit yesterday with Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and good morning to Candy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So, obviously, we're not really seeing this, you know, locally and even in Florida. I think the governor and the legislature have done a really good job of empowering law enforcement to thwart this. And the issues with morale in Florida aren't the same because we have a pro police culture. But when you see this stuff, you know, what is your take? What is your thought as a law enforcement officer?
Well, you want to jump in and help the officers that are there. They're outnumbered a lot of times, and you know, God bless them for the jobs that they're doing, working in the cities that have anti-law enforcement vibes in the area and prosecutors that aren't prosecuting these crimes, yet they're still there doing their job. So, you know, a lot of times people don't think about that part. They are still there. They're not all walking out. So, you know, when you see crimes like this, the criminals that are doing it, they don't look at the big picture. These stores are shutting down, and, you know, just they need to think, what if all the stores, brick and mortar stores, just shut down and everything's online? You're not going to do a lot of smashing and grabbing then. But, you know, burning stores down and looting them like that is just going to get them to close and run stores out of the neighborhoods that they live in.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, these people are not fools. I mean, you might think that they're crazy or evil and antisocial and, you know, sociopathic, all yes, okay? But they're not fools. The ones in Philadelphia, they staged this massive series of break-ins and thefts to look like it was an outgrowth of a protest that was being held, a peaceful protest that had to do with a judicial ruling on a police shooting. So there was a ruling that went the way the people didn't want it to go, and there was a protest for that. And these folks on social media arranged the smash and grabs to make it look like it was connected with that protest, and it really wasn't. I mean, this is some pretty sophisticated, like, information warfare, operational kind of stuff that they're conducting as well. Anyway, I wanted to hear your thoughts on it, and, you know, I certainly hope that none of this comes here to Pensacola. I also have great confidence that if it were to happen in our area, it would happen one time.
We're not gonna put up with things like that. You know, Andrew, on a small scale, we've had shopliftings before with two or three involved, and fortunately the track record for apprehension is pretty good, but like you said, I'm glad we haven't seen anything on a large scale in our city.
Most definitely. The other day, yesterday, we were talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves about the ShotSpotter location. How close are you guys to being able to roll this out, and where is it going to be in case people missed yesterday?
We're getting very close in the next couple of months. The area has been determined, and I try to get this right. It's about just south of Fairfield, all the way to the water, north to south, and then east, about the Tarragona to Pace Boulevard, I believe, is the area it's going to be in. So it's going to take up most of the west side of the city limits of Pensacola.
Okay, and that, so if I have this right in my head, that would include the sheriff's offices are within that footprint, right? Like, just barely, but they are.
Well, they're I'm not sure what their area is going to cover. If you're talking about the building itself, it won't be going that far west. We'll shut it down around Pace Boulevard.
Okay. Well, again, I think that's right where that is. But okay, yeah. No, but and that's going to come online, and that's going to give you the ability to instantly respond to shots fired, and it gets dispatched immediately, right? Like, you don't even have to go through a person to tell the police to respond, right?
Right. The officers will be notified immediately in their vehicles through their mobile computer terminal.
Very good. And I know that's also going to come online. You know, the sheriff's office is working on the coordinated incident response center or whatever, you know, the real-time crime center. That's it. And, you know, that's all a part of this planning as well, as to kind of bring more coherence, consistency, and unity between the forces in the response to these things, right?
Yeah, you know, the real-time crime center is going to be a huge asset. Glad they're getting that going online. A lot of cities have that, and it's been successful everywhere. Every department has had that, so that's going to be a huge asset to us.
I got a text in here that I have to read. It's so funny. Somebody says, you know what they never seem to be looting in these things? Work gloves and boots. Ties and shirts, you know, like right on. That's funny. Back to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, it's been a somewhat quiet week for y'all. And, you know, I don't believe I have the power to jinx that, so I don't mind saying it. But you've had a couple of missing persons cases, and you have made a, which have turned up fine and safe, and that's always good. But you did make an arrest in that shooting outside of Workman, right?
Yeah, the investigators worked hard on that from the moment that it happened. They were able to develop information on who it was, and once that individual got wind that we had a warrant out for his arrest, he did the right thing, which you don't see a lot of times, and he turned himself in.
Very good. Well, I always appreciate that. And the Baptist move. We talked about this with Wes Moreno last hour, but you guys were one of the, you know, handful of key agencies. You guys, I think, were the ones escorting the ambulances over. Easy, done, no problem, right?
Yeah, no problems and done ahead of time. So it went a lot smoother than anticipated. And, you know, when you do things on a scale like that, you have to anticipate problems, and that's what was done, you know, time-wise. And it wasn't needed. It was done a lot quicker than everyone thought. So, 100% on that. It went well.
Very good. Yeah, no, I mean, I just think kudos to everybody involved. It certainly seemed like that to me. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
I do, and it's related to, like you said, we had two missing persons this week, and fortunately they were both found quickly. But the myth was, and I saw this in a comment on social media, that why do some people get posted immediately and others hours and maybe a day or two later, and they think that you have to wait 24 hours before you can report a person missing, and that's the myth. That's simply not true. If someone is missing, especially a small child, we need to be notified immediately. And just as soon as we can get recent photographs and the other information, we're going to put that out on our social media. The media is going to be notified via text with all this information as quickly as possible. So there is zero wait time, especially with a small child. If you look around the house and you can't find your child, don't wait 20 or 30 minutes. Go on and get us headed that way, because I can tell you when a child is missing, everybody heads that way. The police department, the building, the people in the building, it empties out. Everybody's headed that way. So waiting 24 hours is a huge myth. It's been around a long time.
I am so glad you say that. We need to, you know, we do routinely and periodically remind people about that. But that is the one where, you know, I get angry when I see that myth perpetuated in TV and movies, because it's such an easy one not to have to. You know, they don't have to say it. I don't know why they keep saying it, but I fear that that has or may in the future cost somebody their life because people think they have to wait when you do not have to wait. That's a complete myth, complete invention of, you know, the entertainment media. And it really offends me that that is impeding the ability to help and do good that the police, law enforcement are always eager to do. Thank you for sharing that one with us again. Mike Wood is a public information officer with the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 549 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are looking to sell or buy a home, or looking to just kind of bounce the idea off of somebody and, you know, get an expert's opinion on where the market's at, where interest rates are at, what's likely to happen in the next, you know, 0 to 6 months, and how that might affect your decision to buy or sell right now. Hey, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they are fantastic. You know, 230 homes sold last year. That's almost 5 a week, which is an unbelievably prolific amount of selling. It's just crazy what they get done. But also, they manage to treat every single person like you're the only client. I don't know how they do it, but I hear this story again and again and again from folks, and it is just, it's amazing. I know I would not be able to, but that's why you call her, not me. Plus, she knows so much more. Oh, my God. She's such a sweetie, too. Just, you know, saw Christine yesterday when she was in for Pep Talk with Jan. Just great. In any case, she loves talking to people, loves answering questions. She's kind of a nerd, honestly, about this subject in a good way, like the kind of person that when you hire a professional for their services, you want somebody who's a nerd about it. Like, they're really into it, and they love it. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wired.com for tickets and event information.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Greetings. Watch the birdie. Jeez, I cracked myself up.
In case you don't know the background here, Ron Acuña Jr. is crazy good. I mean, like, ridiculously good. And he's got that rare combination of speed and power that makes him so desirable as a player. And, you know, even though he's a Brave, no, I know a lot of you are Braves fans. That's fine. I haven't been paying attention to baseball for at least a month as a Cardinals fan. Seriously. It's just like, oh, look, it's the last day of the last weekend of the season. Nah, okay. So 70 stolen bases and 40 home runs. Nobody's ever even come close to this. The closest, the top in terms of the combination, you had Jose Canseco in 1988, had 42 homers and 40 bases. You had Barry Bonds in 96 with 42 dingers and 40 bases. You had A-Rod in 98 with 42 home runs and 46 stolen bases. And Alfonso Soriano in 2006, 46 home runs and 41 stolen bases. And this year you have Ron Acuña with 40 home runs and 70 stolen bases. It's completely insane. And in the play, you kind of heard him talking about it. He picked up the base and took it home, like right at that moment, which is not that rare. I mean, they did show a little bit of a retrospective video. They were all prepared for this. And it's kind of funny. The Cubs announcers are like, can't we get the base after the game? That's pretty absurd. I mean, it is a hell of an accomplishment. But, yeah, you don't have to stop the game to run a highlight montage. Dude, don't be such Cubs fans. You know, I know you're trying to make the playoffs yourself and all that, but still, just, you know, celebrate the moment. Huge moment for baseball. That's a, you know, you can never say it'll never be done again, because I mean, he could do it next year. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that there's a reason this has never happened before. It's incredibly rare. 550, of course, and there is a teeny tiny asterisk you have to note, and that is that the bases are larger this year, so it's ever so slightly easier to steal a base. And of course, with the rules about where players have to play and the pitch clock and the number of disengagements to throw over to first being limited, that there are some factors which facilitate stealing this year. But if it were that big of a deal, you'd have everybody be at 60 stolen bases. It's special for him, absolutely. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. We've got Dave Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The head of the House Oversight Committee issuing subpoenas for the bank records of Hunter Biden as part of the GOP impeachment inquiry against President Joe Biden. House Republicans searching for evidence to connect President Biden to Hunter's foreign business dealings. Elon Musk is headed to Texas. He says he wants to get eyeballs on the situation going on at the southern border. Musk posted on X yesterday. I still can't get used to saying X instead of Twitter.
It's so dumb.
It really is.
Sounds dirty. And if it weren't dumb, it would be easy for us all to make whatever transition they were going to make. So you're right. He's wrong.
He is headed to Eagle Pass, Texas, with Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez to address the public about the recent surge in migrants. And today is the last day for America's current top military officer. The last day working at the Pentagon for Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley. An official farewell ceremony scheduled today at Joint Base Myers-Henderson in Virginia. President Biden will be there giving some remarks, and then he'll be succeeded by Charles Q. Brown Jr.
So I was curious about this as you were talking about it, because I thought it was yesterday, since they had a story top of the hour Fox News at 5 o'clock with some kind of retirement ceremony that he had yesterday. But I just looked it up real quick. I guess his last day is tomorrow, September 30th.
Okay, having the ceremony a day early.
I know, everything's all off time.
Too soon. They didn't want it to spoil.
They got the implication that he's a traitor and might be eligible for the death penalty by President Trump on Truth Social. All early before the retirements actually happened. So David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. This did not make transgressors this week. Coming up at 6:20 and 8:20, the early service and the late service. If you don't know the transgressors sermon, it's a thing I do on Friday where I pretend to be a woke pastor passing at a funeral service, noting the passing of things that we have to get rid of this last week. Because there's always more stories than I can cover. I do three, and there's always more than I can cover. The most recent one, and it's kind of funny, this actually came to my attention after I had written transgressors, or I might have tried to incorporate it. But you know how Winnie the Pooh, the early Winnie the Poohs, have aged out of copyright protection now?
Yeah. So
and they're in the public domain.
Horror movie,
just
right,
like,
yeah.
I think, what is it? Steamboat Willie is in the public, but Mickey Mouse is not, I think, is kind of the way that works on the Disney
you're right.
side.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got a group of environmental activists known recently for their great wisdom in choosing targets. The group is called it. They're calling this book Winnie the Pooh: The Deforestation Edition, and the organization is called, rather cleverly, Who Gives a Crap, a company that produces 100% recycled paper or bamboo toilet paper.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but it's out of the idea that trees die for toilet paper, and who gives a crap? It's kind of okay. That's their theme. So what they've done is they haven't changed apparently any of the words in the now sold out hard copy, hardback edition of the 100-acre wood story, the Winnie the Pooh, the deforestation edition, which is the like no acre wood story, because they've changed the maps so that, you know, six pine trees is all cut down and the, you know, where Owl's House shows no tree.
Good morning, I'm David Wayne.
Shows, you know, like everything is looks like the Lorax or the Onceler has been
right
here.
Right.
So.
Oh, man, that's so sad.
An uplifting and encouraging message to carry along with your child's book.
It's a good message, though.
As you're playing Poo Sticks over the bridge and you're, you know, getting introduced to Tigger, although maybe that was a later day. Anyway, and look here, all about the trees, save the trees. Meanwhile, the message is so uplifting and cheery and happy. So well done, folks.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.